CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Benham Bentaleblou, the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's a senior fellow to comment on a report from AP in these last hours from Vienna. World powers opened a fifth round of talks with Iran aimed at bringing the United States back into the landmark 2015 nuclear deal meant to prevent the Islamic Republic from obtaining an atomic bomb, with both sides expressing hope that it might be the final series of negotiations. Benham, a very good evening to you. Hope, it jumps out at you. The picture accompanying the story is from a file film, but it's clever. It's April of 2021. The Director General of the IAEA, Rafael Mariano Grossi, is standing in front of a large structure. It turns out the structure is what covers the Chernobyl melted down core. So he's standing in front of catastrophe, seeking to avert catastrophe. A very good evening to you. These talks in Vienna, they seem to include the IAEA, but there's been question recently, reported by you, that the IAEA and its ability to ascertain correct procedures, correct conduct in Tehran, has been limited or threatened by the Iran regime. Good evening to you.
Very good evening to you, John. Great to be with you. You know, it seems like it's deja vu with the Iranians and as well as deja vu with the Americans. On the American side, you're no stranger to the phrase hope springs eternal. It seemed to be part of the U.S. negotiating strategy with the Iranians and the P5 plus one under the Obama administration, and it appears to have been resurrected now in 2021 under the Biden administration in their talks to also resurrect the 2015 nuclear deal known as the JCPOA. Now, I think the Americans are in the right place, but doing the wrong thing. I think the Americans are rightly in Vienna, but they're doing the wrong thing. They're engaging in this indirect diplomacy to resurrect this fatally flawed agreement, when really they should be in Vienna to bolster the latter half of what you mentioned there, which is the drama unfolding, and that is much less reported, but nonetheless prescient, between the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, and the Iranians, because the Iranians are again extorting, pressuring, blackmailing, if you will, the IAEA based on a threat that they commenced last February, which is that if the negotiations don't go the way they want, the political negotiations, that Iran would halt things with the IAEA on the technical track. So basically, Iran is putting a gun to the head of the IAEA on the technical side, hoping, of course, that the Americans see this gun, act responsibly, quote unquote responsibly, and rush to give Iran, the world's foremost state sponsor of terrorism, cash, material aid, basically sanctions relief for undeserved reasons, and resurrect that flawed deal. And then, of course, the monitoring mechanism that had existed could again, quote unquote, be left alone.
The JCPOA, as originally understood, was an agreement that Iran would permit the IAEA to monitor its sites, the suspect sites. However, I believe what you just told me and what I've read is that Iran is preventing the surveillance cameras from monitoring those sensitive sites, or many of the sensitive sites the IAEA inquires about. And the U.S. is going along with the idea that we don't need surveillance cameras. Is that correct?
Well, there's several lines of effort that, based on what you said there, that the U.S. should be pressing on but isn't. So Washington should be throwing the lion's share of its attention in Vienna behind the IAEA to prevent Tehran from doing this. Tehran is basically weaponizing the supplementary monitoring agreement that we know as the additional protocol. And this is an agreement that is older and much more important than the JCPOA. And basically, Iran is threatening to prevent the IAEA from accessing monitoring records, monitoring material, videos, if you will, from certain sites where there are IAEA cameras. And in essence, Iran is threatening to destroy these things, something which should raise a red flag for the UN Security Council and definitely for policymakers in Washington. So in some ways, it's much more important than the JCPOA. Washington's obsession, Washington's flaw is here not paying attention to these things that are greater than the JCPOA, but rather paying attention to almost exclusively the JCPOA. So Iran is engaging in nuclear blackmail and hoping that Washington does something to stop it.
We have allies involved in this, Germany, France, Britain, Russia, and China. I don't want to speak for all of them, but particularly Berlin, Paris, and London. Are they okay with the way the IAEA has been compromised? Do they object to that?
You know, this is something I'm struggling to deal with myself, because if you remember in previous rounds of negotiations, the French were framed as hawks on global nonproliferation and deemed as being to the right of the American position on Iran nuclear during the late Obama era. And I'm wondering what happened to that sentiment now. I think there has been a change. I think the European powers see Washington again tacking to resurrect talks with the Islamic Republic and resurrect that 2015 nuclear deal. And while some of them may have more private misgivings, perhaps the British, now that they have an autonomous sanctions regime, given Brexit, or perhaps the French, given this legacy of being a hawk on nonproliferation, certainly not the Germans, who are much more mercantilist. In this regard, I think they are staying silent publicly because they know that the Washington cares more about the political track. And I think they, too, are putting the lion's share of their attention on the political track. Previously, mere months ago, the IAEA's Board of Governors was able to censure Iran. I'm not sure what's going to happen now, but this is the kind of stuff that back then would be kicked up to the Security Council. And I have real concerns as Washington is seen as being more and more desperate. Its allies in the international community will be more and more restrained in their criticisms of Iran and its nuclear infractions.
The news tells us that Secretary Blinken, visiting the region, is consulting with Israel about Iran's ambitions and presentations in Vienna. What is the Atomic Archive and how does it help?
So the Atomic Archive is in many ways one of the most important but underutilized, underdiscussed things in this entire Iran nuclear debacle. It's basically proof that Iran kept data, technical information, drawings, blueprints, logistical information about its past weapons work on ice. And given what the U.S. has reported, both under the Obama and Trump administration, about key persons or figures who also appear in that archive, we believe that there's been a restructuring of Iran's nuclear program into covert and overt tracks with possible military or weapons dimensions there. So in many ways, this nuclear archive, this conglomeration of material, this paperwork, images, documents, was unveiled by Israel after a daring raid, I think in 2018 or 2019. And some of the material has entered the public fray. But the problem is you have so many people committed to just resurrecting the deal that they are not focusing on the sites, the data, the persons. If anything, the Atomic Archive should be telling us that the 2015 International Atomic Agency report that said that the Obama administration used to begin implementing the JCPOA did not go far enough. And in many ways, just like a report on Iran's past military dimensions was swept under the rug by the political desire to implement the JCPOA, data about Iran's potentially ongoing or potentially unresolved nuclear aspirations will be subject to the same political scimitar if the U.S. is working so hard to resurrect that deal. Fears over past attempts to circumscribe the IAEA's role could become prologue here.
Now that they're sitting together in Vienna in the hotel with excellent pastry, do you anticipate any roadblocks to the conclusion of their negotiations? Is it smooth? Is it a smooth path for them? We have about a minute.
It's not as smooth, I think, as some may make it appear. The problem is that the more the Iranians dig in their heels, the more it seems like the Americans are offering more and more, particularly when it may come to non-nuclear sanctions relief. The reason this has the potential not to be smooth is because of the upcoming Iranian elections, which doesn't change foreign and security policy, but will certainly change optics to sell any potential agreement in the Islamic Republic. But more importantly, that Iran's supreme leader has every interest in saying no in a bid to get more and more and more. So if past is prologue here, that strategy for the Iranians will work.
Follow the money, 30 seconds. Is it about money? Does it come down to an amount that will be transferred to Tehran?
I certainly hope not, but follow the money is correct, because in this instance, if the U.S. does budge on non-nuclear sanctions relief, particularly to entities like the Central Bank of Iran or National Iranian Tanker Company, it would be doing worse than underwriting Iran's nuclear program. It would be in some ways turning a blind eye to the terrorist apparatus.
Ben and Ben Talablu, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBSi on the World. I'm John Batchelor.